Praise God. The Bible said that if a man is going to go to heaven, he has to be saved. How many believe that? How many believe that Jesus died on the cross and rose again? How many believe that Jesus gave his life that we might be saved? How many believe that Paul walked on the Damascus road? How many believe Jonah swallowed the whale? Nobody believes that. Amen. We don't believe that either. There are two kind of people in the world today. It's not the blacks, it's not the whites. It's not the Spanish and it's not the Anglos. It is not the rich or the poor. It is not the educated or uneducated. But God classifies in the Bible two kinds of people. And he called them saved people and lost people. We're going to read about it. And the Bible said, verse 1, and Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was chief among the publicans, and he was rich. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and he could not because of the press. That means there was a big crowd around there. Because this guy, Zacchaeus, was little of stature. And he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him because he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up, he saw him, and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. And when all the people saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was gone to be guest with a man that is a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. If I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him four times. Jesus then said unto this man, this day has salvation come to this house. For so much as he is also a son of Abraham, and here it is, for the Son of Man, Jesus Christ, has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Two kind of people in the world, saved and lost. You fit into one tonight. And after I get through with this message, if you don't fit into the saved category, then you need to get saved. You need to give your life to Christ because he can give you so much. You believe that? He can give you so much you won't know what to do with it. And I'm talking to people tonight. Some of you have been in Pentecostal influence for years. But still coming to church doesn't make you a born-again Christian. Did you know that? Singing on the choir doesn't make you a Christian. Shaking a preacher's hand doesn't make you a born-again Christian. Coming to church don't make you a born-again Christian any more than being born on a railroad track makes you a locomotive. It might make you a little local, but would make you a locomotive. And people think because they come to church, they have this far out idea that everything is all right. But you know, Jesus still says, you must submit and commit your life to me. And that's the only way you can come into heaven. And that's the Bible. I want to preach a message entitled tonight, Jesus Passed My Way. And I'll never forget the day that he came my way, the supernatural miracle he gave me. But there's people in the Bible, he came by, he touched them, he healed them. How many of you remember the day Jesus passed your way? Raise your hand up high. And he came by, he gave you this good feeling. I remember a young man got saved in our program, and he got a great feeling. How many of you ever felt great? And it was something about feeling great you want the whole world to know. And he had this great, sensational, spectacular, supernatural feeling, and he was a dirty, old, filthy drug addict. And finally he came to the front. He knelt, began to weep, began to cry, and his lostness began to leave him, and Christ began to come in. He stood up, he looked around, it seemed like he was in a brand new world. He didn't know how to act, what to say, how to do, and he just looked around. All he'd done all his life was curse, cheat, and he said, man, something's happened to me. I can't curse or do all that stuff anymore. Something different. So he just looked around, and finally he just couldn't take it anymore, didn't know what to say, so he rubbed his belly and said, hot dog, hot dog, hot dog, hot dog. Something happened to him. And there's a feeling that people feel when Christ comes inside their life. The Bible said that Jesus passed by to give us eternal life. There's this man Zacchaeus who was rich, and he was looking to see who Jesus was, and he could not because of the great huge crowd that came to hear him. But he said, I'm going to climb up into a tree, I'm going to see him. And people, when you get uptight, when you get desperate, and the crises around you begin to fall like a thunderbolt from heaven, you're going to get desperate and find Jesus Christ. Many people have to wait till the last moment. They have to wait till tragedy and catastrophe come. I saw my own friend with my own eyes come sailing from six stories in New York City on Caldwell Avenue in the South Bronx. Michael was sitting on the roof smoking marijuana, got high and thought he was Superman, jumped off the roof and came and fell and hit the iron bars. His body jumped, splattered blood all over the sidewalk. A girl was screaming. I looked and I saw Michael coming down. He's already hitting the second story and bam, he hit the concrete in the asphalt of New York City. Only if Jesus would have passed by to him. Maybe Michael could be here enjoying this camp with you. Maybe Michael could be here telling you what Jesus had done for him. And yet there are so many things. Some of you have been saved from the most terrible wrecks you could have. Some of you that have motorcycles, God has saved you. He sent an angel to protect you when you were speeding down the road. And I think if there's anything that we need to ask God for, it's that Jesus would pass by in this camp and take all our selfishness, all our self-motive out of us and give us more of Jesus. You believe that? What do you want? More of Jesus? I believe this is what we need. More of Jesus. Now I want to tell you how Jesus works. First of all, we're going to look into the Bible. We're not going to give my own idea. I'm going to tell you what the Bible says. There was a man in the 8th chapter of Luke. And this man was bound and enslaved by demons. And these devils had come over him, and man, he was messed up. The Bible said that he was cutting himself with stones, his arms. The Bible said that he was taking his clothes off. He was a streaker. The Bible said that he was the first streaker in the Bible. The Bible said that these spirits would come into him and would drive him crazy and wild. And the Bible said he lived in the tombs. How many's read the story? You know who I'm talking about? They call him the demonic of Gadara. And there he dwell among the tombs. No hope. You ever seen a hopeless person? You ever seen a person that nobody could help? There's all kinds of people in the world. But Jesus can heal every single disease and sickness and hopelessness. You believe that? Say amen. And some of you, there's one young lady in this building. And the Lord showed me last night. And the Lord's just told me right now he's going to heal you. You keep forgetting things 30 minutes after they happen, and God's going to heal your mind tonight. 30 minutes after something happens, you keep forgetting it. And for some strange reason, the Holy Ghost told me, sitting on the chair, and I said, Lord, I said, there's so much confusion going around on television. They're putting so many programs, people calling people out, that some people doubt what's happening. But the Holy Spirit told me, there's a young lady in this camp, she's a camper. And you forget things. 30 minutes after it happened, you forget it. And you're having trouble at school. And the Holy Spirit's going to heal you tonight. If you come during the altar service, God's going to touch your mind and going to give you complete, total healing. Hallelujah. I just feel the Holy Ghost told me to say that. Now, friends, listen. God's here. I feel the sensitivity of the Holy Spirit. A man with no hope, with nothing in sight. And all of a sudden, Jesus began to walk by. The people of the city of Gadara said, we don't want you to come here. You filthy, dirty, demonically inspired man. We don't want you here. Get out of here. And all of a sudden, Jesus walked by. The man that has never rejected one person. The man that said when you were using drugs, when you were rebelling against your parents, he still loved you. He still cared for you. And finally, Jesus walked by. And the demons inside these men were getting out of control. And finally, Jesus walked up and began to cast the devils out of the man. And the man began to speak. You know, devils speak. Demons talk. I was in Trenton, Missouri. And a young lady came to my meeting, sat in the front row, her eyes bulging outside of her sockets. And she kept staring, glaring. I had a young soloist from Texas that traveled with me, Don. And he would sing. And he was singing for me at that time. And he'd get up and sing. She'd just stare at him. And it wasn't a stare that she kind of liked him and kind of winking at him. Not that kind of stare. She was so involved in demonology. And I called and I pleaded and I preached. And finally she would come every night and weep and cry, but nothing would happen. And finally one night, it was almost the closing night of the meeting. We had closed the service, had a couple of nights to go. We were at our hotel plaza. I was upstairs. The lights were out. I was just ready to go to sleep. And the telephone rang in my room. The motel manager said, there's a bunch of young people in the lobby want to see you. So you better come down here. Kind of late for them to be hanging around here. So I got dressed and I went downstairs. Told my wife, I'm going downstairs. See what's happened. I went down there. Man, there was about 20 young people from First Assembly of God in Trenton, Missouri, waiting down there. And they had this young lady with her. They said, she's ready to get saved. And right in the hotel lobby, she got saved. And the next day, her boyfriend came to pick her up, you know, in his car. And he came and he said, here, light up one, marijuana. She said, I don't want that. Well, what's wrong with you? I got a little bit of Jesus last night. Come on, somebody say amen. Now, there's people, I had a kid stand up in one of my assemblies, and he said, Mr. Torres, did God make everything? I said, yes, sir. And then he got real smart. He said, did God make marijuana? I said, oh, man, he put me on a spot. Kind of thought for a while. I said, yeah, God made marijuana. He said, woo, boy, God made marijuana. We can smoke it, we can smoke it, we can smoke it. And everybody, whee! And I said, yeah, too. God made poison ivy, too. You can eat it. Mm-hmm. God knows what he's doing. This young lady came forward the next night, and she told me a story that frightened me, and I'm telling it to you tonight, because I don't want you to fall into the trap, into the snare of Satan. She said, Mr. Torres, I stood in my room. I sat on my bed and crossed my legs, and I began to talk to demons. I used to talk to demons. And the frightening thing was, one day my girlfriend walked by, and she said she saw in my room me talking to somebody. She saw a black figure, and the devil was talking. I was talking to him, and now he won't leave me alone. Now the blood of Jesus Christ has covered her and cleansed her. You know why? Jesus passed her way. And he can still do it to you, young man. He can heal your mind. If you have things crossing your mind that are immoral, that shouldn't be there, that are sensuous, God wants to take the poison out when Jesus passes by tonight in this very service. And the man who was so involved and demonically inspired, Jesus began to cast the devils out of him. And the devils left. And the man was clean. And guess what? He got some clothes on. Hello? Yeah, he got saved. I never forget, I was asked to preach at a Baptist church when I was in Bible college. And the Baptist preacher called me and said, I heard you're having some tremendous success with young people. Can you please come and talk to the Baptist, Calvary Baptist Church? So I walked into this big, beautiful, plush Baptist church. And I told the pastor, now you are aware that I'm going to preach the way I preach everywhere. He says, I want you to tell these kids like it is. I said, praise God, here we go. I walked into this Baptist church, and at first they were a little bit strange because they knew my approach to young people was straight. Christ is the answer. There's no other one. Education, refinement, culture can do it. And all these young people had come in. They said, extrogated, coming in to talk. And it so happened that 2 weeks before my appointment to speak at that Baptist church, this young man was streaking in the high school. And streaking was popular a few years ago, and he had been streaking. And they put his name in the paper where they arrested him. The principal caught him and made him sit in front of his whole class completely naked, just like he was running. And then they took him to jail and booked him for indecent exposure. Well, I read in the paper, how could a little town of 7,500 people have a streaker? I thought those things happen in big cities. And so that night, man, I was really on fire. And I began to tell these people, you think you have a real Holy Ghost town? I said, you got sin in this town. I said, you got some crazy 16-year-old teenager that just got caught streaking. Man, I was really lambasting this boy. I was reading this boy off, man. I was really telling it how bad this boy was. And I tell you something, that boy was sitting in my service the whole time, and I didn't know it. He come to hear me preach. Poor kid. When I made my altar call, over 25 young people came forward, and he was the first one to come to give his life to Jesus Christ. See how the Holy Ghost works? Jesus passed by. And this is the reason that I tell you tonight, it is possible that Christ can do for you what you cannot do for yourself. He said he would. The Bible said that this man who was enslaved, the people came around, and the Bible said in the 8th chapter, they said, what happened to you? He said, I don't know. Jesus was here. And then the people got scared of miracles. You know, some people get scared of a little bit of religion. They get a little bit scared. Well, I know how I felt when I first come to church. Everybody threw their hands up, began to praise God, and began to shout. I said, oh, man, what's going on here? I was raised in the Catholic Church. I went to church. We just sat there and listened to him, and he talked mostly in Latin all the time. We couldn't understand him. He got up there and said, Dominos Podistos, and she carried on. And I used to go to the priest about every 3 months, and they told me I must tell him everything that I did wrong to confess to him. Man, I sat, he got, when I came, boy, he said, he looked at me, he could see me, and I couldn't see him. So, oh, here we go, 3 hours. I got up there, and I did this, and I did that, and the priest, he probably fell asleep, man. And so there was a different thing that, but then I found out that I could come directly to Jesus. Isn't that wonderful? You don't have to go 1,000 miles away. You can say, Jesus, I've sinned against you. I've made a mistake. I failed. Now help me. And Jesus comes along. The Bible said that immediately after that miracle, Jesus went on the other side of the river, got on a boat, and people were waiting for him. Crowds were waiting for him because they had heard about the miracle. And when God begins to do miracles, people are going to hear it. They're going to want to come see it. And I want to tell you something. If God works a miracle in your life, I guarantee you, the minute you go home, some of your friends or even your family are going to say, don't believe it. I said, just the way the devil works. Don't believe it. You just got too excited. That's all that happened to you. I never forget my friends. I walked to the street. I said, hey, man, Jesus came into my life. They said, what? You crazy, man. You're a junkie. I said, oh, no. I'm a child of God now. You're a junkie. I said, I'm saved. Oh, you, that stuff will wear off of you. They're still waiting to wear off of me. I've been saved 8 years now. That's right. Because it works. How many know it works? I said, how many know it works? And it's still working in me. I still feel the power of the Holy Spirit. Because I told him that I wanted my life subjected to him. And Jesus came and got off this boat, and I could see him. He comes off this boat, and all of a sudden the people are waiting. They want to be healed. And all of a sudden Christ walks up, and the Bible said a man came to him. His name was Jairus. He had a daughter that was 12 years old, and she was sick. And she was dying. It was the only daughter he had. Now listen to this. And he came and said, Jesus, I heard about your miracles. Can you please come to my house and pray for my little 12-year-old girl? She's lying in bed and she's dying. You're the only one that could help her. And Jesus said, I'll go there. And as he was walking, the Bible said there was a woman with an issue of blood. How many read that story? The woman that was dying. The Bible said she had spent all the money that she had upon doctors and none could heal her. And then one day somebody knocked on her door and they said, have you heard the news? Jesus is coming into town. Isn't that wonderful news? Jesus is coming into town. Nowadays our young people are turned on to everything. People are turned on to everything under the sun except Jesus Christ. We like to hear, instead of songs like Amazing Grace, Something Beautiful, How Sweet the Sound That Saved a Wretch Like Me, people want to hear the Rolling Stones, the Beatles, the cockroaches, and everything else that crawls out from under the rocks. I think it's great that we listen to things that lift us up above the shadow and plants our feet on higher ground and gives us something to look up and rejoice because Jesus is coming. Say amen. All right. I'll get a rock. Somebody said, oh, you believe in rock and roll? I said, yeah, I believe in rock and roll. Thank God my feet's on the rock and my name's on the roll. Hey, listen. Christ went and the people came to him, hundreds, thousands. And Jesus was walking, and as he was going to Jairus' home, the Bible said there was a woman with an issue of blood, and she pressed her way through, and as she pressed her way through, she finally saw him. Now I want to tell you something about this woman. She is a type of the young woman who said, if I'm going to get something from God, I have to become desperate. And you'll never get relieved from the dilemma and the mundane earthly problem that plagues you until you become desperate to seek God. She had reached all her resources. She had tapped the resources of the world. And now the end of her world was coming. Her food cabinets were bare. She didn't have one nickel, one dime, $1. She spent it all. And now the Bible says she's dying and doctors can't even help her. And somebody comes and knocks on her door and says, have you heard the news? Jesus is in town. And boy, she goes out of there desperate. How many know that when you're desperate, you can do anything? That's right. Man was walking down the cemetery late one night, and he was whistling Dixie. And boy, it was midnight, and he didn't watch where he was walking. He didn't care. He wasn't afraid, and he was walking, and he fell into an open grave, 10 feet under. Well, you know he got desperate. Boy, he looked, it was dark, and he looked up, and all he could see was stars and darkness. And he began to jump. He wanted to get out of there. He started jumping and jumping. He couldn't reach the top, and he did that for about 50 minutes. What he didn't know, that another fella had fallen in the same hole 20 minutes before him and was sitting in the corner watching him go up and down, up and down, up and down. He tried to get out and couldn't get out. Just watch, up and down. Finally got tired. He said, buddy, you might as well sit down. Ain't no getting out of here. But he did. When you're desperate, you can do anything. That woman said, if I can just get to where he is, if I can just touch the hem of his garment, I know I can be made whole. And the Bible said the woman got out there and she began to walk. And finally, after she walked, she could no longer get through the crowd. Now, this is not in the Bible, but I believe that this is the way it happened, because my Bible said she touched the border, the hem, the bottom of his garment. She got on her hands and knees, young people. She crawled. And finally she said, if I could just touch him, if I could just touch the hem of his garment, I know I can be made whole. And through dirty, kicking feet of many people that were walking, dust being kicked in her face, this woman made her way through the crowd. And finally she looked up and saw the face of Jesus. She touched him. And the Bible said immediately, hallelujah, immediately the disease that she had disappeared and Jesus Christ healed her. Say amen. I tell you, it's real. Jesus passed by, and all of a sudden, the disciples began to look around, and Jesus turned around. He said, who touched me? Somebody said, it wasn't me, Lord. Well, somebody's touched me, because I feel power has went out from me. And I feel power right now, friends, walking up through here, floating through this camp meeting, healing all different problems, difficulties. Simon Peter said, somebody, but it wasn't me. And all of a sudden, the woman had been exposed. She said, it was me, Lord, but I thought you were too busy. Don't you believe that lie? God's never too busy to tend to your problems. And all of a sudden, after a miracle, what did I tell you a little while ago? Do you believe what I said when I said, when the Lord gives you a blessing, the devil starts messing? When the Lord begins to bless, the devil begins to mess. That's right. I told you, the minute you receive something from God, somebody's going to come and say, foolishness. And immediately after Jesus Christ had healed a woman who was dying of a disease, one of Jairus' servants comes and says, don't trouble the master anymore. Bad news, your little girl just died. How many know anything about dead people? They don't talk too much, do they? Matter of fact, they don't talk at all. I worked in a funeral home, and I know what it is to deal with dead people. I had to sleep with them every night. I slept on the second floor because they slept in the morgue. And one day we decided to play a trick on a friend. You know, we got him a job there, and he used to work from 6 in the evening to 6 in the morning. We never saw him pray. So we decided to play a little trick on him. We're going to make him pray. One day about 11:30, how many been in Bible college? You know what I'm talking about. When the lights are supposed to be out, at 11 o'clock, the mice are still crawling. And we started crawling. And we snuck out of the dormitory, and we still worked there, and we had a key to get into the funeral home. And there's a little apartment on the second floor, and the morgue is in the basement, and they have bodies viewing in the first floor. And we're going to scare Marcus, and he only been working 2 weeks. The owner of the funeral home was Fred. And we got a secret key, got in, and he was upstairs, and we began to shake, make noise in the first floor. And we could hear Marcus coming to the door, light going on. He came and listened. We saw him from down the stairs, and he looked around. Said, oh, it's just probably, you know, when there's nobody in the building, you hear these little cracks and squeaks. He went back. We got mad. We want him to come downstairs, and we want to scare the liver out of him. Boy, and so finally, we began to really bang up. We took brooms, mops, and buckets in the closet. And all of a sudden, Marcus came down. Started coming upstairs. Fred, is that you? Fred, praise God. Is that you? Fred, hallelujah. Is that you, Fred? Thank you, Jesus. Fred, praise the Lord, hallelujah. Fred, is that you? Praise God, hallelujah. Boy, the whole time he was coming down, praise God, hallelujah. He was praying, man. When we got down there, we said, boom! He was, ah! Tell you, we scared the daylights out of him. I tell you something. He needed Jesus to pass his way during that time. Boy, he quit his job a couple of weeks later. Wouldn't talk to us for a while. But at least he learned how to pray. When you're desperate, you'll do anything. Now a miracle has transacted into the life of a woman in the Bible. A supernatural miracle has taken place. Jesus has performed it. And bad news comes. The little girl is dead. And I want you to know, Jesus said, "Don't worry, Jairus. Dry your weeping eyes. Everything is all right. We're going to go to your house." And he's walked into the house of that dead woman. He walked in there and he says, "All people that don't believe, get out." There's a lot of people that only believe when things are going good. We must believe God when things are going good and things are going bad. Say amen if you believe that. Man fell down the cliff one time, man. He was going down. And this seems to be like this is a story, you know. And this is an unbelievable story. But as he was going down, he hung onto a tree branch. You know, that always happens in movies, you know. The hero always, and he's hanging on there. "Oh, please help. Help somebody up there. Help. Is there anybody up there?" Somebody say, "Yes, I'm up here. Please help me. Help me." "Yeah, I'll help you." "Well, then help me. This tree's cracking." The man said, "Do you believe in God?" He said, "Yes, I believe in God." "Anything, man." "Well, jump and God will catch you." "Is there anybody else up there?" That's the way it is. Brother, I tell you, there was nobody around that could help. Only Jesus walked into the room of a dead 12-year-old girl and said, "Rise." And the dead came back to life because Jesus said it. I said, Jesus said it. And if you want something from Christ, you must become willing to let Jesus pass your way. There was a blind man sitting by the wayside. His sight was gone. In St. Luke's Gospel, chapter 18, the Bible said that this man was screaming from the very top of his lungs. Hear it right here from the Word. "And it came to pass, as he was come nigh unto Jericho, a certain blind man sat by the wayside begging, and hearing the multitude pass by," we're talking about Jesus passing by, "he asked what it meant, and they told him," what? "Jesus is passing by. Jesus of Nazareth is walking by." And he said, "Son of David, please help me." And all of a sudden, Jesus stopped. And he said, "What is it?" "I want to receive my sight." And Jesus said, "It's done." Boy, you think, some people think that bewitch has got some power. I tell you something, God's got some real power. He don't have to twitch his nose. Just lay his hands on you and give you what you need. Say amen. Took this man's blindness out. Now, we're coming to the end of the story. You're wondering what happened to that little Jewish tax collector named Zacchaeus. Now, I've got a funny feeling that Zacchaeus is going around collecting taxes. Now, this is my own version. So, if you let my imagination run with me for a while, I'll let it. I got a wild imagination. I'm like that little boy that's named Johnny. They got him a little bike. A little motor scooter. What do you call it? Dirt bike. One of them little kids, one of them little dirt bikes for Christmas. And old Johnny just ran that thing, man. He ran in the bedroom. He ran in the bathroom. He ran everywhere in the house. He got ready to go back to school. He said, "Mama, Daddy, can I take my dirt bike to school? My little mini bike?" Mother and father said, "No. The teacher will get mad at you." "Oh, I want to take it." "No." Finally said, "Oh," he got mad and took his books in his arm, went to school that morning. He was mad. He couldn't take his mini bike, but he said in his mind, "I'm going to pretend I got it." But he didn't have nothing. So he gets on the street corner, goes across the school, walks up to the second floor class, sits in the class, and starts going. And Mrs. Appletree, the English teacher, is writing the assignment on the blackboard. She turns around out of the corner of her eye. She hears this noise and she goes, turns around and Johnny goes, you know how that is. She turns back around and Johnny begins to go, brum, brum, brum. She turns around out of the corner of her eye, she sees him and Johnny goes, "I saw who it is," she says. "I'm going to get him though." Johnny didn't know that she saw him. So she said, "I'm going to put up," she's got a good one up her sleeve and she... You can have an imagination like that. But I got a funny feeling. Zacchaeus was going around collecting taxes.
And he knocked on one door and he looked at this woman and he said, "Where are your taxes?" "Oh, just a minute," she went. "I want to go back and get it." And a man walking by. He looked at that man. He said, "Who's that man there? There was never a man in your house. What are you doing with a man in your house?" Woman said, "Well, that's my husband. Can I have my own husband in my house?" "Well, he was never here when I come by before." "Of course, he was in the tombs. He was the one they called the demonic of Gadaria." "Well, what are you talking about? I heard about that guy. I haven't even seen him running through the wilderness wild." And then he comes out, big guy. Boom, 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 boom. Looks at that little Jew. "Hi there." He looks at Zacchaeus. He says, "Are you Zacchaeus?" "Yes." He says, "You know something? I used to see you all the time. Are you that guy that wore no clothes? You a streaker?" "That's me. But not no more. Just the other day, Jesus passed my way. And he changed me. And he set me free. And he's established my going. And he's made me free." Zacchaeus, oh, couldn't believe it. Got his tax money, went on, knocked on another door. When he knocked on the door, this woman came out. That woman that was sick for 12 years. Her disease was incurable according to medical doctors. She could not receive no help. And she opens the door. Man, her eyes are shining like two diamonds, man. She's looking pretty. She's got good stuff on her face. She looks good, man. She's got, oh, she just smells. Got that good smelly stuff, you know. And she's smelling pretty. And she's got her hair sprayed and her deodorant on. And girls, when you get in a hurry, you better watch it. Because I heard a girl that she got out in a hurry and got her deodorant and hairspray mixed up. She couldn't get her arms down or hair up. And all of a sudden, oh, Zacchaeus looks at this woman, and the woman is looking, you know, she's looking at him, and she says, "What do you want?" She said, "I come to collect the taxes. I come to collect the taxes." And she says, "Oh, yeah, I have your money." He said, "But wait a minute, there's something different about you. You look so pretty." Hey, guys, you better watch these girls. There's something about camp and queen business, you know. These queens walk around to these guys and go, "Hi there, you hunk of man, you. I got this little Pepsi Cola can. I want you to drop in a couple of dollars. Ooh, you got some pretty eyes." And they get so close up to guys that just to... And then when they get the money, they go, "Fool." And these guys, you know, they're the same. They walk up to these girls. "I'm a king." Girl looks, "You're a king?" "Yeah, I'm a king. You look pretty nice, young lady. I kind of like you. Tell you what, you put $3 in my can, I'll take you out." After camp. Then after camp, he forgets her address, telephone number, and everything. "Hey, man, that's..." They come up. I know. They'll come up and they'll grab these guys. They'll have to do everything. We say, "Who are you going to give to?" I usually don't get in trouble. I give to all of them. I give a little bit to all the queens and all the kings. That way they'll all have a fair shake, I guess. But the woman was beautiful. Her disease, she had gained her weight back again. She was looking good. I remember when I first got saved, I was skinny. Man, I was so skinny. And all of a sudden, after about a few months, I was saved. My mother came to see me. She said, "Man, what happened to you?" I said, "Mother, Jesus passed my way." It took my mother almost 6 months to believe that I was really saved. She wouldn't believe it because I was stealing from her. I was robbing her blind, and she couldn't believe it until finally one day I went out and I talked to my friends, and she saw me talking to them. They were smoking, blowing smoke out of my face. And she said, "How can you take that?" I said, "Mother, there's something inside of me that makes me say no to the things of this world, and that something is someone, and that someone is called Jesus of Nazareth, who's died for me, giving me the power to be an overcomer." Oh, I tell you something. Zacchaeus was surprised to see a woman healed totally. And she said, "Zacchaeus, here's your money. I got a job. Looking good, ain't I?" Look at him and she said, "Oh, boy." He goes on his way and he knocks on one more door collecting taxes. Little old Jewish guy. Open the door. A little girl with a ball in her hand, 12 years old, walks out bouncing. Zacchaeus looks at that little girl and says, Hey, get me Jairus, quickly. Jairus comes to the, what can I do for you? Oh, you want taxes? Here, hang on. Whoa, wait a minute. Tell me, who was that little girl that just walked by here playing with a little ball in her hand? Well, that's my daughter. Well, it can't be your daughter. Just a few weeks ago when I was here, she was in there sick, dying. It's impossible. As a matter of fact, I heard through the grapevine that she died. Well, she did die. You heard right. But you see, Jesus was here. Jesus was here. Boy, I tell you something, Zacchaeus says, what? I've been hearing about that fella for so long. He says, you better hurry up. He just left. And he's on his way down to Jericho. And all of a sudden, he said, I'm going to find that Jesus. But he comes to one more house, knocks on the door. A woman comes out. He says, please, Zacchaeus, I don't have any money now, but my husband will be here pretty soon. Her husband is the blind man that's on the wayside. And he has been begging and begging and begging and begging, getting money to pay his bills and pay his taxes. And all of a sudden, Zacchaeus is arguing with this woman. Now, you have been late so many times. You better get with it, lady. And all of a sudden, she said, wait a minute. Look. And here comes running a man. Man, he's running fast. And all of a sudden, the wife looks. Well, that looks like my husband. But he's got his tin cup here, his sunglasses here, and he's running. No using his glasses. He can see. And the woman says, it is my husband. And Zacchaeus says, you mean that blind man? I've seen him on the wayside. Well, he must be seen. Look, the tin cup and the glasses in his hand. He's running, man. And he gets there and he says, is this you? Are you my wife? This is the house. You know, he's been married to her all these years. Don't know what she looks like. Want to see what she's looked like. See what he's been living with all this time, you know. And he goes, oh, you're so pretty. And who's this character? Zacchaeus. What do you want? I'm the tax collector. Well, here, take your money and go. He said, what happened to you? He said, I was on the side, on the wayside, and I heard this guy coming. His name was Jesus of Nazareth, and he stopped and he touched my eyes and he made me to see again. And if you get up there, you just might get a touch of him. Brother, I tell you something, Zacchaeus got up there because Jesus was passing by, and he climbed up into a sycamore tree to look down on him. But you know what Zacchaeus had to do? Zacchaeus was a very respected person. But Zacchaeus was up, looking down at Jesus. But Zacchaeus had to come down. And before you can find Christ, young lady, young man, you're going to have to come down off your high horse of pride. You're going to have to drop right down and say, here I am, Lord. I need you. You're going to have to come down. This business of you thinking you're better than somebody else, just don't go in God's record. It may go in your little kingdom, but it don't go in God's kingdom. God says all have sinned and have come short of the glory of God. Jesus is passing by. Not only is he going to heal this girl who you keep forgetting things, he's going to heal lots of you. Some of you that have got problems with your backs, your legs. Some of you that get constant headaches. You have to skip school sometimes because of it. Tonight is miracle night. And Jesus is going to heal you. He's going to touch you. He's going to give you the peace you've been looking for, the belonging. Israel Medina came into our program, a sick junkie who had been on drugs for 8 years. He came into the program, and we kept praying for him. And I don't know why. I can't explain to you, kids. I don't know all the answers. I don't know all the reasons. I wish I did. Maybe I could work better with people, but I don't know them all. And we prayed for Israel. Oh, Jesus, heal him. He was going through cold turkey. And all he could do was just sit there holding his stomach, sick, vomiting. And we just looked at him. And Israel had been through 8 years of horrible drug addiction. His parents had disenfranchised him. They had disowned him. They had kicked him out of the house. His junkie friends had a contract on him. They're going to kill him because he owed them so much money for drugs. And I never forget, after he got saved, I went back on the streets with him. And he said, that's the corner where I first heard the first message about Jesus Christ. But we were praying for him. It had been almost 3 days. It had been almost 72 hours we've been praying. And nothing was happening. Israel was just as sick as ever. And it seemed like our prayers were hitting the ceiling and bouncing right back down. And that little 9-year-old boy I told you about that I interviewed that got saved walked by and said, what's happening? We said, we're praying for Israel, Georgie. Go ahead and go up to your room. He said,
What if you're praying for him? How come he's still sick?
Well, we said, God hasn't healed them yet.
Well, why don't you pray the prayer of faith?
Now, little 9-year-old kid trying to tell us how to do it.
I don't know whether you know it. Little kids know a lot.
And this kid said, well, let me pray for him.
You don't tear down the faith of a 9-year-old boy. So he said, okay.
And we let Georgie go behind Israel, and he put his hands on Israel Medina, a young man. Israel Medina today is the pastor of a fine church in Spanish Harlem in New York City tonight, because a little 9-year-old boy came behind Israel, laid both of his small hands on him, and said, Jesus, I don't know how come you haven't healed him yet, but Jesus, please help Israel. This little Puerto Rican 9-year-old boy began to pray, and all of a sudden, it wasn't even 2 or 3 minutes, Israel jumped 5 feet up in the air and began to scream from the top of his lungs, Estoy libre, I'm free, I'm free, I'm free. Jesus set him free right there. A 9-year-old boy prayed, and Jesus passed by. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Would you just lift your hands and praise God for that? Isn't that exactly what Jesus wants to do? Young lady, he wants to do it for you tonight. Don't hold out on him. Don't play hard to get. He's going to get you tonight. He's going to help you. Hallelujah. Glory to Jesus. Glory to Jesus. Glory to Jesus. Glory to Jesus. Worship him, young people. Would you stand to your feet, everybody? Stand to your feet. I want you to worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Hallelujah. Glory, 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 glory. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I sense His Spirit here. He'll do special things for us. There's young men in this building and young ladies. You want God to touch you. Some of you have had sicknesses. Your parents have taken you to doctors, and doctors have told you what's wrong with you. Now, kids, I am not talking from my own authority. When I tell you that Jesus can heal you, it's because the book says it. And if the book says it, I believe it. A preacher came to jail. Almost 8 years ago, I was facing 15 years in the penitentiary. And he told me with the book in his hand, Lewis, Jesus can revolutionize your life. And I couldn't believe it. Honestly, I just couldn't believe Jesus could do that kind of stuff. But I found out a couple of months later when I went into the Teen Challenge program, he could do it, and he did it. As a matter of fact, what he did in the year 1970 when I gave my life to Christ still works today. Still works today. Because he never fails. He never fails. Some of you are going through all sorts of things in your life. There's young men and young ladies that God wants to pass by you and heal you. Some of you have forgotten what it is to feel the real sensitivity of the Holy Spirit. Some of you have gotten to you enjoy yourself better in the things of the world than the things of God. And it's been, for some of you, it's been quite some time since Jesus has passed by. You must become as a little child and believe him with childlike faith. And if you will do that, I believe he'll minister to you. Some of you need the baptism of the Holy Spirit. You need to be filled. A young man came to me last night. He says, Brother Torres, I believe before I leave camp, I'm going to be baptized with the Holy Spirit. And I'm going to speak in tongues as the Spirit of God gives the utterance. And I believe he'll fill you with the Holy Ghost. He'll pass by with Holy Ghost power and show you and give you a reason to live for. Now, I'm not even going to ask you to bow your heads or close your eyes. I'm simply going to say to please obey the Holy Spirit. If you have got a sickness in your body, if you're the young lady that the Holy Ghost has already spoken about you, and you forget things very easily, it may not be 30 minutes, it may be a time of a couple of hours, I don't know. But God told me there's a young lady in this camp that keeps forgetting things. In school, things that people told you, you keep forgetting incidents, episodes, things that have happened, you forget them. Jesus wants to heal your mind tonight, wants to give you healing. And whatever you have, you get these headaches that just don't never stop. It seemed to come for a moment, then they go for 3 weeks and they come back again. Jesus wants to heal you. You may have back problems, young lady. You may have problems in your home. You want Christ to pass by and solve. With no heads bowed, with no eyes closed, I just want you to slip to the nearest aisle. And I want you to come down here for special prayer, because Jesus is going to pass by. If God's speaking to you, come on quickly. Right now. Come on, young man, young lady. You're the one God talked to. Difficulties. You need a miracle. Jesus wants to give you healing. Just want you to come stand here reverently and quietly. I want you to come stand here. The minute you come, you're acting upon your faith. And your faith will give you your need and your miracle. Come on. Some of you are holding back. I know you are. I could sense it. I could sense the devil telling you, don't go up there. Don't go up there. It's not going to help you. And you need a miracle. Jesus needs to pass by. Come on, please. Don't let the devil cheat you out tonight. You've been wanting God to give you this miracle. You've been wanting to have a fuller, broader understanding. Now Jesus is passing by. Come on, young lady.